Hello and welcome to another episode of Pros Pondering Paint. This is episode 8, Understanding Your Basic Operating Costs. This episode was inspired by our good friends at Paint Extra down in Australia. And in this episode, we're going to break down some of the hidden costs of how you bid and that really affect your shop rate. So the real question is, when you bid at $50 an hour, Brandon, are you really making $50 an hour?
And that's what we're going to find out today. And if you love numbers, this is going to be a really fun episode for you. And if you don't love numbers, that means you should probably be listening to this episode because this is what you need to hear. We broke it down for you. We have it all nicely printed up here. So we're just going to say that you work 52 weeks a year, 40 hours a week, which is, we'll just say a standard full-time job. So throughout the year, you'll work 2,080 hours. If you want to make $50 an hour, you can multiply that times to 2,080, and you can find out that you can potentially gross $104,000 a year. So that's a pretty good wage.
It's a very comfortable living.
Absolutely, absolutely. Then, of course, we need to find out essentially how much we're going to make a week. So 50 times 40, we can do the math. That's $2,000. So in theory, our take-home check at this moment is $2,000.
And I always get these confused. Is that gross pay or net pay? And I never can remember which one is the one that you're supposed to make and the one you actually take home. I always get them confused.
Gross is the impressive number.
Got
you. Net is like the, oh.
Okay, so what you're breaking down here is the gross pay. So $104,000 a year is the gross, that your business is grossing that amount. And then $2,000 a week is what you're grossing before any of the stuff that we're going to break down here in just a minute.
Exactly. So we'll find out what you net. And then, of course, we're not talking anything with regards to taxes or anything that you guys can figure out on your own. But we're just talking paint numbers is what we're talking here.
And you said in one of our last episodes that Uncle Sam likes to take about a third in taxes. Is that a good rough estimate to kind of figure in as you're doing this?
Yeah, ish. That's pretty close. Yeah.
More if they can get it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, it depends how much you make and stuff like that. But yeah, that's a third is pretty much the standard rule of thumb. Just for our scenario here, we're just going to assume that we do two jobs a week. So two jobs, 20 hours. So we have that. But there's a lot of extra costs that come around. If you're at the job physically working for 40 hours a week, there's a lot of things that get done behind the scenes, right? There's got to be a lot of prep, so to speak, to get you to that point of where you're doing the job. So you have to run around, do the bid. You have to type up the estimate. There's probably a couple phone calls where you got to schmooze the people, you know, come get the money. And then you got to go to the paint store and you got to pick up materials. That all takes time, as we can probably all agree. And so for the sake of our argument, I figured that that's about 2 hours per job. You know, by the time you drive to the house, look at everything, do everything, 2 hours. So that would mean that since you're doing two jobs a week, so that would be, if you're making $50 an hour, $100 a job, or $200 a week. I'm just running around doing stuff. As you can see how we broke that down, you multiply that by the end of the year, that means that that's going to cost you $10,400 just to get to that point.
And does that include the writing of the estimate and writing of the bid? Or is this just kind of the, you've already got the job, this is just the running around that requires you to maintain that job? Like you said, picking up paint, talking to the homeowner with change orders, things of that nature.
For this scenario, I took myself, if I go bid a job, I mean, typically it's not your next door neighbor, right? So you're probably driving at least 15 minutes one way, right? Maybe 20 or 25. Then you got to spend 20 minutes, half an hour talking to the person. Then you got to come home. Then you got to spend time at your computer. Or if you do it on site, you still have to spend time typing everything up. And a lot of times people will hem and haw, right? And then they finally, you know, might have a phone call or two, and then they're like, let's do it. And hopefully you get a down payment, which we can talk about that later. But then at some point, you need to pick up the material, right? So then you're driving to the paint store, And then you got to drive to their house. And basically, kind of when you get to their house, that's when the numbers start. That's when you proverbially punch the clock.
There again, just trying to clarify because I know we're throwing a ton of numbers out there and just want to help people visualize.
Here's the other thing that people don't really take into account with their numbers. And we're going to have a whole episode on closure rate, but closure rate means that if I go bid 10 jobs, how many do I get? Do I get five? Do I get six? Do I get all 10? That all tells us something, but the odds of having a 100% closure rate is very low. For this, the sake of our information here, we have a 66% closure rate. So we do our two jobs a week, meaning that we have to bid three to get two. You still have to do all the running around. You don't have to go to the paint store, but for that third job you didn't get, you still have to go to the house. Probably some phone calls, you still have to go home and type up an estimate. So what I did for that is I said, maybe that takes you 1 hour. So we noticed we got $50 there. So at the end of the year, that's $2,600 that's just gone. Now we get into the other stuff, business insurance. You should have business insurance. Now policies could vary depending on your area. This area, you should probably have a $1 million policy because it sounds like a lot of money, but no pun intended, but you can burn through $1 million very quickly. You set a house on fire, that house is gone. You damage the neighbor's houses with the smoke and stuff like that, the money's gone. Now, I just put about $600 a year for the policy. Depending on what it covers, you might pay a little more, you might pay a little less, but that would be $600 a year. And so that's about $11.53 a week, or 29 cents out of every hour that you work goes directly to paying for your business insurance. These are things that we need to keep in mind because this all chips away at that $50 an hour mark. Then we have car insurance. Now, obviously, it depends on your car, depends on what type of insurance that you have. Some it might be very cheap, but if you have a semi-nice vehicle, that could cost you $1,000 a year. That's not unreasonable. So again, we broke that down, $19.23 a week, or 48 cents per working hour. So we keep in mind, again, now that keeps chipping away a little bit.
Right. Quick little side note question since you brought up car insurance, and we can dive into this deeper in another video. Do you have to have commercial vehicle insurance, or can you just use your personal policy?
That's a great question. And of course, we'll just put the disclaimer, talk to your insurance agent. But I can tell you for myself is that to even be able to go on certain job sites with certain builders, they want your vehicle to have a commercial policy, which I can assure you costs more than $1,000. So I'll just state that. So
Right. And another disclaimer, some of these numbers, we're rounding them so to make our math easy because there again, throwing numbers out there for you guys to listen to gets complicated and we completely understand that.
yes, and what you pay in Alabama will probably be different than what you pay in California. We live in Minnesota. It's different here. So, we're just taking generalizations. But here's one that's probably not too much of a generalization is gas, right? Because every vehicle needs gas. I Googled what the average gas price is as per our shooting this episode. And in the United States, it's $4 a gallon. So that's average right now. And I just figured 20-gallon tank. So for me, I go through at least one tank a week, depending on how much I drive. Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. But that's easy math. That'd be $80. That's what you spend per week on gas. And then you always have to think about oil changes because that vehicle needs to be maintained just because we're staying on the vehicle. My last oil change was a little more than this, but it's if you do four a year, which is what they recommend, $70, that's $280 that you're spending per year just in oil changes.
And there will be, as we all know, other maintenance that comes up as you own a vehicle, new tires,
Blinker fluid.
blinker fluid. You've got to remember the blinker fluid. Thank you for saving me on that one. And those are all things that at some point you're going to have to factor in. And hopefully, at that point, your business is generating enough to cover those costs.
Yes, absolutely. And also another cost is if you have a vehicle payment. Now, I in this scenario put a very modest car payment of $400 a month, so that's about $100 a week. Now, you may say, I don't have a car payment, and that might be true. But like Chris, like you just mentioned, if your vehicle's a little bit older, odds are pretty good you have to stick a little more money into maintenance. Whether you do the maintenance or whether you're hiring someone to do the maintenance, it's costing you money one way or another. And if you're truly trying to figure out how much money you're making, these are things that you need to keep in mind.
And even just as we talked about, just knowing your numbers, you've got to keep all these things in mind because these are the basic operating costs. These are your fixed costs that you have to cover every month as you're running a business.
And then we'll go through a few other ones. A phone, everybody needs a phone, $60 a month, even if your plan is a $25 plan. Odds are pretty good you're still paying off the iPhone. Internet, you probably have internet in your house that you use. So that could be another $60. Here's the interesting thing, the sundries for the week. Chris, you kind of help with these numbers. What does this include?
What we've got here is just the really the basics. So a tray liner, a tray, a brush, a couple of rollers. So I figured two jobs a week, you're going to use two tray liners on one job and one roller tray and the same on the next job. And then you're probably going to use at least one brush, maybe two, depending on how many colors you've got, a couple of different rollers. And these are all items that are, if you take care of the, if you really want to rinse out the roller trays, you definitely can. I'd toss them and buy new ones because they're only, $3 a piece. But that's a decision you can make. And then the brushes and rollers, you wash those out. So you get life for every job out of these. And a good brush and a good roller should last you four or five jobs if you maintain it. And you just wash them and reuse them. And as the paint vendor, feel free to throw them away and buy new ones every time. We really like that. They perform so much better than a dirty roller. And then also tape, and then 0.3 mil plastic, and then just a standard 9x12 drop cloth. And there again, the roll of tape, that's should could last you two jobs. It might last you one job depending on how much masking you have. The same with the plastic. A 12x400 roll of plastic, that should get you could get you a couple weeks, like 4 or 5 jobs. And the same with the drop cloth. You buy a good drop cloth, you maintain it, that'll last you 20, 30 years.
The other thing to keep in mind is with the drop cloth, you do have to wash them from time to time, which I think a lot of people know. But even like washing out a brush, I mean, if you want to make $50 an hour, that means that every 6 minutes, you're making $5 an hour. So you need to mentally keep that in mind. If this brush takes me 5 or 6 minutes to clean out, which it might be a little bit less, that's $5. So the money, whether you're reusing the brushes or not, that still counts, right? Because you're still working.
And our numbers figure that's a $14 brush. So you really want to take that into account that it really might be better just toss the brush and go buy a new one versus spending that time. Once you figure out how long it takes you to make $14, you might just toss it. That might be 5 minutes for you to make $14.
Yeah, depending on your shop rate, that's very possible. And certain states, you have to have a license. I tried to look up a bunch of different states, and it just from what I could see, states that have a license, about $120 a year. You probably still have to register your business, even in states that you don't need a license, and that costs money too. So we just threw in the $120 a year, or we could see that's about $2.30 a week. And then the next part that we want to talk about is advertising. How do you get a job? Now, we're going to put in $100 a month for advertising, which you'd be like, oh, that sounds like a lot, but it really isn't. By the time you get business cards, by the time you get a domain name for your website, then you build a website or you pay someone to do the website, maybe you print up a bunch of flyers and you walk them from door to door in certain neighborhoods or yard signs or whatever, all that costs money, right? The flyers, you could print them at home relatively cheaply, but if you spend an hour or two walking around neighborhoods, there's your $100 right there.
Anytime you take an hour, if your shop rate is $50 an hour, just know that whatever you're doing for the business, if it takes you an hour, you've got to account that for that $50 somewhere. Plus, in this case, for the advertising, the flyers, the ink, the printer that you have to buy, the computer, whatever programming. So if it takes you 2 hours to build the flyer and then an hour to print it and then another hour to go distribute them, well, that's $300 or $150 right there that you got to account for at some point. The nice thing about some of these numbers is that they will extrapolate over a longer period of time than, you know, we're kind of combining it all down into, you know, these one-time shots. Well, you know, flyers, after all that long, after doing all that work, those could last you a month. So you're taking that 3 hours worth of work and spreading it over. If we're doing two jobs a week, that's 8 jobs. So you're spreading it over 8 jobs. So it does kind of lower that number, but you still have to account for it.
Exactly. And this is where a lot of painters fail, is they don't account for all these like little nickel and dime type things that ends up killing your numbers. So things that we can't really give a number on right now is, are you paying rent for your business? Are there utilities? Are you going to pay someone to do certain amounts of work or certain types of work? Are you subbing stuff out? These are all other numbers that you should be adding to this.
Yeah, and that will all be a varying. And like you said, if you're subcontracting some of this stuff out, that's going to change based on the job, because you're not always going to have somebody doing, you know, 20 hours worth of work at $50 an hour. Sometimes it might be 10 hours of work and they might only charge you $25 an hour for that. So those aren't the fixed costs. Those are the fluctuating costs that, but you still have to account for them on every single job.
That's right. So now that we compiled this list, and this isn't a all-inclusive list, there's other things, but now that we have that, let's take a look and see how much we're spending per week and how much that comes off our $2,000. Okay, Chris, so now we just talked about a pretty long, comprehensive list of just different things that come up that we have to pay for that literally are weekly or monthly bills. So let's add them up. So we notice that we have here, we have the whole list all the way given to us here. I broke it down per week. So you notice the oil changes, $5.40 per week is how that goes. That license from the state, $2.30 per week. So we see that we broke it all down and we have a total per week of $763.55. But that's our total that we spend every week.
These numbers just flabbergast me that you can break it down this far. And did you, in an off-camera conversation, we talked about insurance on yours works down to like 15 cents an hour, roughly?
Yeah, exactly. Like between 15 and 20 cents an hour, that my working hours. So it's just funny because you think about like, okay, I've been here for an hour, and then you break it down like this. It's like, okay, for the first 20 minutes, Uncle Sam takes his cut. And then you got, you know, for 2 minutes or whatever, this takes a cut, this takes a cut. So it's pretty depressing when you look at it that way.
Right. And there again, these numbers, you and I have chatted about this prior to coming on and discussing this. And I was overwhelmed then. I'm still overwhelmed now. But this shouldn't be a crippling overwhelming. These are just simple numbers. It's what's there. Does it look like there's a lot here? Yes, and there is. But it's not that you can't overcome these and you can't make the money. So what do we have left over? So we started out, we were going to make $2,000 a week after our $763.55. What do we got now?
Well, now, as we do the math, we see we're back down now to $1,236.45 left. So that's what we have here. So 38% of our total earnings goes to paying for this stuff. So that $50 an hour has now dropped to $30.91 per hour.
Just right off the top.
Yep, right off the top. So we think about that. Then, of course, we have taxes, which will come out too. So these are all things that our brain needs to be thinking so that we can compensate for it.
So then the question remains, I want to make $50 an hour. At the end of the day, after all this, how do I account for that? So this essentially took $20 an hour right off the top, and we're not even accounting for taxes yet. If I want to make that $50 an hour, I have to then essentially bid my jobs at $70 an hour. That seems like a lot.
I mean, yeah, I get it, especially if you're not used to playing with the numbers like this. But that is what it tells us. There's other areas that we can get money back. As we've mentioned in previous conversations, we buy in bulk. That helps keep our costs down. We make sure that we charge for materials, we charge for paint. That helps us to be able to recover certain amounts of money. There's different things that we can do to play around with this to be able to get our number back up. If that's what we're wanting, we want to make $50 an hour. Well, then, like you said, we obviously need to charge more than $50 an hour.
The market will, like we've talked about, the market will determine what you can and can't charge. And also, like we've talked about, it's okay to make money. You can ask for these prices. The worst that somebody's going to say is, no, you're too high. And this guy over here will do it for half your price. Well, that's usually if somebody's saying somebody will do it for half your price, and you know your numbers as you're seeing them like this, that's when you say, thank you for your time. If anything changes, please let me know. And you walk away because you have to make this money to cover your costs. Otherwise, you're out of business.
Absolutely. And in theory, every contractor should be dealing with numbers like this. In theory, right? They should all have insurance. But this also goes back to our previous conversation about adding value. So we can see why all these conversations are leading to this. So you need to add the value. Everyone should be having these basic costs. It's just a matter of how are we able to sell ourselves.
I agree with that. That's the learning curve. When you're starting out, you don't have all the experience, you don't have all the proper terms, you don't have all the bulk buy capacity, but that will come. So it's going to be a little rocky at the beginning, but as your business grows and it evolves, then you'll gain that confidence to be able to know when you walk on a job site, I know I need to make bid it at $70 an hour, and I'm confident asking for that. And if they say no, I'm confident saying thank you for your time and moving on to the next one, and knowing that I need to get these numbers and I'm going to make that. And again, that's okay to do because you've got to cover these and it'll come with time. That's the best way to do it is don't give up after the first person says, "Yeah, you're too high."
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about this in a later episode, but this is where figuring out our closure rate. If we bid 10 jobs, how many do we get? What should our closure rate be? How are we able to tweak it into our favor? We're going to find out. But the reality of the situation is if you bid 10 jobs and you get all 10, you're too cheap.
Definitely. There again, if you're working 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, and you at the end of that week or the end of that month, you go, gosh, I don't have any money. You're too cheap. Now, if you're doing one job a month and you're covering all your costs, that actually you might be doing pretty good. Those might be big jobs, or you're way too high.
And that's absolutely correct.
As you can see, we've just covered a ton of numbers. My head is a little fuzzy with all these numbers. So I can't imagine how you people are out there watching this going, okay, am I taking notes? What's going on here? Our next episode, we want to talk about how you maintain your hourly rate. We just touched on it just a little bit here, but there's more information that we want to go into, and I want to give my brain a chance to cool down.
Figuring out your numbers isn't necessarily a fun thing to do unless you're that type of a person. But the reality is, if you are a business person, this is something that you should know. There's a lot of people who are a good painter. They run a business, but they don't know their numbers. So this is going to help you to become a well-rounded business person.
I agree. And there again, it sounds like it's a lot and it sounds extremely complicated. It's not. Once you sit down and just kind of go through the simple process that you just showed us how to do, and then you can know these numbers. So like we said, the next episode, how to maintain that hourly shop rate. You know, if you want to make $50 an hour, how do you do that? We'll deep dive into that one next time.